You're listening to the Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Couples, today I am excited to bring some encouragement to oftentimes a struggle in marriage. How do we handle conflict? How do we handle disappointment? How do we handle those missed expectations? The longer you're married, the more that they happen, right? So today we're going to tackle something that Dr. John Gottman would call the state of the union and that meeting. But before I get to that, I just think here's the thing, couples. Our goal in a healthy marriage is not that we don't ever argue. The point is that we do it in a healthy way that leads to growth, that leads to change, and does not lead to us tearing each other down and ripping each other apart. So before I get to this practical tool that Gottman would present as a great tool for couples to use, I just want to start with a few proverbs. You know, God's word always tells us the truth. And it speaks a lot in the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalm we'll look at, of the power of our words and really the condition of our heart. And so I just want this to be at the forefront as we think about this today, how we handle ourselves when we're disappointed and hurt. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one whose rash words are like a sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." That might be a good visual to think about the next time you're getting ready to have a hard conversation with your spouse, that you don't have a tongue that's like a sword that's thrust into their heart and is like crushes them, but that we want to use words that bring healing. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." Again, this proverb is really helpful for us today as we kind of explore this topic. And then Psalm 19:14 said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Because honestly, guys, we can have all the practical tools, great strategies that counselors and researchers give us. But at the end of the day, what's our heart? Is my heart for my spouse? Is my heart recognizing that I need to be humble and teachable? Is my heart that my spouse's feelings and needs are actually need to be more important than meeting my own? That's what Jesus calls us to. And that's what the Proverbs are speaking to, is that our words can really either tear down or build up. And so I want us to keep those things in mind as we tackle this idea of the State of the Union meeting. Because here's what Gottman would say. Couples that set aside intentional time, not only to connect, but to talk about one issue at a time, really goes a long way in building a healthy marriage and just helping you to gain confidence that when conflict comes along, it doesn't have to explode into maybe what it's been for you in the past, where you just start yelling at each other, you're saying hurtful things, right? That sword plunge into your heart, and then you never really resolve anything. You just hurt each other and you grow further and further apart. So the idea of the State of the Union is that you would set aside an hour a week to sit down as a couple. Now, there's some specific things we're going to unpack that Gottman says is really important. But the idea is that you're setting aside an hour in your week for connection and to share one issue, just one. It's not your time to sit down and just throw up on each other all the things that you've done. This is a challenge to say, nope, we're setting aside time that we know as a couple that we're going to get together. We're going to connect and we'll have one issue that we bring to the table every week. And we're only going to focus on that one issue. So that's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some trust. But I think, you guys, it is worth giving this a shot, especially for you couples that struggle when it comes to matters of conflict and communication. Now, some of you might be thinking, an hour a week? Are you kidding me? Like, our schedules are crazy. Okay. I mean, I trust Gottman's research. He's done a lot of it. He studies couples and has come out with a lot of practical tools. And he says an hour. So if you can, even if 40 minutes, 30 minutes, the point is that you're setting aside time that's uninterrupted to say, this is our time to kind of check in, right? What's the State of the Union that the president gives to the country? Where are we at? How are we doing? So what he says is the first thing you do when you have this meeting is you start with five compliments. Now, for some of you, maybe in the beginning where you guys have been at odds for a while, you don't really have a lot of trust in each other's heart for one another, then this might be a challenge in the beginning. But my prayer is going to be that as you do the State of the Union, as you're seeing growth, as you're seeing your spouse really listening to your concerns and wanting to be responsive to them, your compliments are going to get easier and easier. I mean, it might be something like, gosh, I saw like that guy cut you off on the road. And in the past, you would have been flying off the handle, yelling and screaming, and you were pretty chill about it. That's awesome. That might be one of your compliments for the week. It might be that, you know, your spouse remembered that you needed milk on the way home from work and picked it up without even having to ask. Whatever it is, these compliments set a tone, an atmosphere for the State of the Union meeting that reminds you, kind of like we learned in our Proverbs, that your words can bring healing, that you want to connect, that you love each other, that your hearts are in a place of saying, no matter what my frustration or my one issue I'm bringing this week that's been frustrating, I'm starting with things that I love about you. Ah, right? Wouldn't that just change the total tenor of a conversation if you heard your spouse say compliments of you, things that they love about you, things they respect about you, you know, practical things they saw you do that were helpful during the week? It sets a different tone of not being adversaries, but rather allies. Like, we're in this together. Okay, so then the next practical step of this is then when you get into the, for lack of a better word, grievance or frustration or hurt, that you're also structured in that. And the first thing is what Gottman would say is, and again, keeping our Proverbs in mind, that my words, I need to be careful with the words that I speak. So when it comes to that point, you decide one person's going to start, one person's the speaker, the other person's the listener. And you both have important roles to play in this. The speaker is, you're presenting your frustration, your hurt, your missed expectation in a productive way. Meaning, not accusing, not starting with, you're a jerk, you failed again, but rather, when this happened, when you said this joke, that was really hurtful and it just crushed my heart. And I just need you to know that. I haven't been able to shake it all week. It's just all I've been thinking about that was so hurtful to me. So you present it in a way of your feelings. This is how I was feeling, or here's what I'm feeling, and here are the reasons why. Okay, now the listener has an important job too, that you've agreed to be to start as the listener. Then that person, what Gottman would say is you use the acronym ATTUNE, ATTUNE, as the way you present yourself to your spouse who's sharing their thoughts and feelings. Now, the A stands for be aware. Watch the body language. Notice the emotions on your spouse's face, right? No one wants to be in a conversation or be vulnerable with their spouse if their spouse has their arms crossed, they're looking down, they're looking at the clock, they just don't seem like they care. So the first thing is you want to be aware, pay attention to the emotions, especially when you're listening to what your spouse is sharing about where their hurt has been happening. The first T is to be tolerant, to respect their viewpoint, to hear them and not just be ready with your rebuttal. It doesn't mean you have to agree entirely with what they're saying, but it is their perspective. It is their feeling. So we have to be able to say, like, okay, I have to give you room to share that. I have to give you room to say that's how you felt in the moment, whether it was a misunderstanding or not. Then the idea of turning towards each other is that you stay engaged. You're not looking away. You know, you're not picking up your phone because an alert went off, that you're like, this is our time. This is you and me sitting here on the couch across from each other from the table. And I'm with you. I'm turned towards you. My eyes are fixed on you and I'm listening. The U stands for understand, right? None of us want to feel like we're sharing something and our spouse is just like, you know, staring at us blankly. Like, look to understand, ask questions, really try to be like, I want to understand, like, why did you feel that way when I said that joke? Why did you take that so personally? Help me understand that. Not from a place of like, really, you're that, in, you know, that sensitive, but rather like, I really want to understand how I missed the mark on that. The N then is the non-defensive listening, that again, this is the challenge for us, is that we are, as James would tell us, to be quick to listen and slow to speak, that we aren't just looking to correct or to say you're wrong or to interrupt or to defend, that you just really give your spouse that opportunity. When they're the speaker, you are listening, not with defensiveness, not with your rebuttals, but rather like, I really want to get on the same page with you. And then the E stands for empathy, that you try to feel what your spouse feels and you validate that experience. Again, that doesn't mean that you agree entirely with everything they said, but you can certainly see their pain, their sadness, their hurt, their lack of confidence in an area or whatever that is. You can meet them in that place and say, I can tell that really hurt your feelings. And I just want you to know, I'm so sorry. Here's what I meant by that. Or here's what I was trying to do. I want to be better next time. Help me. What would be the better response? Right? So if you can both see that happening where you take turns being the speaker and the listener, and you're just focusing on that one issue, how it really gives you time to like get on the same page and to be like, okay, now that we understand each other, what are some practical steps we could take? How could we start to mitigate this from being an ongoing issue for us? Rather than coming to a conversation and taking this issue and then throwing three or four other ones on top of it, that's like, I mean, now you can't make sense of any of it. So the discipline that it requires in the State of the Union is, number one, your attitude, how you come with it to the conversation, that you come starting the conversation with those compliments to set a tone of breathing life into each other and love, being reminded of that. And then getting into using that attune as your way of listening and speaking to one another, like what a difference that can make to get on the same page and then be able to be like, okay, so this particular issue, do we feel like we're good? Okay, let's give it a couple of weeks and then we'll come back to it. Like for example, in our marriage, for my husband, he's so bad at time management. And so when the kids were younger and I'm making dinner and frankly was excited to have some adult conversation, you know, dinner was always at like 5:30. And so it would be so frustrating to me when I'd be like, honey, I mean, if you're going to be late, can you just at least shoot me a text or something just to let me know? Cause then the food's going to be cold and it just sets up the whole night. Then when you come home, I'm frustrated. I don't want to feel like that. So, you know, it took us quite a while to get to a place where Brian was able to be like, okay, you're right. I need to be better about that. I need to be communicative. I need to set an alarm so I'm paying attention to what time it is. So it took us a while. Like, so if we were going to use this, you know, it wouldn't be like, okay, and so tomorrow you're going to be, you know, A+ perfect at it. No, I mean, there's still going to be some room for learning new skills and new habits. But the point is, if we have these weekly conversations, I know that we both are in tune with each other. We're listening to each other. We want to grow. And if we still need to work on it, we can come back to it in a couple of weeks, you know, but every week we're just focusing on one issue. So couples, this is my challenge to you, that you guys find that time in your schedule. Maybe an hour sounds like too much. Get to 30 minutes and start there. Make this though a part of your week where you come together, where you share your compliments and your love for one another. And then you attack one issue at a time. And again, that's probably a bad word. I shouldn't say attack, but that you discuss, you explore how to avoid hurting each other in whatever that those areas of frustration or missed expectations are, and see what a difference that makes in your communication, the quality of your relationship. Think about how much more trust is built when you know that you guys have a space where you can come together and talk. And there might be some of those issues where maybe an outside third party would be helpful. Maybe if you kind of feel like, gosh, I feel like we're listening to each other, but we don't see it the same way. That's where you go to your pastor or to a mentoring couple or to a counselor and say, help us understand. We just move past each other on this particular issue. You know, for my husband and I, it took us a long time to get to a place of really resolving some of our family issues, like the extended family and how we needed to look at it, how we should view it as a couple. What did that mean for our family scheduling and all that? And it took us a while. We went to a third party to say, there's just a couple of these issues where we just can't quite get on the same page. So you have to kind of work towards it. But at the end of the day, what we had to recognize is, A, we wanted to honor God with our attitude and our words. B, we wanted to love each other and wanted to meet each other's expectations any way we could. And C, we wanted to be respectful of our parents. But it took us a while to kind of move through that and figure it out in a way, compromise in some different ways, settle on some conclusions that maybe neither of us were happy with. But the point is that we worked on it together. And so sometimes those issues, you might need to call in somebody else. But I'm telling you, for like the day-to-day, just trying to set like just a different way of communicating as a couple, the State of the Union is a great tool. I challenge you to give that a shot and see what a difference that makes in the quality of your marriage moving forward.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.